converge.
Today's podcast is brought to you in part by Denison Ministries and their First 15 email devotional. Sign up today by visiting first15.org. Now, on to today's show.
Well, welcome in to the Invitation Podcast, people. Thank you so much for accepting my invitation to join me on here today for a special Christmas edition of the podcast. And man, this is awesome. I just love the fact that we get to celebrate this, that we get to have even, honestly, this sounds like a little morbid, but it's honestly the way that I feel. I'm thankful that we even get to make it to this part of the year to be able to celebrate towards the end of the year and get to celebrate the beginning of a new year. I think the older I get, I start to realize at least more and more how fragile life is as people are here and gone. I know for a lot of you guys, not the easiest year ever. For us, you know, it's been a solid year, definitely a growing year. I would say the past 2 years have been growing years, but for some of you, you guys have suffered through some real devastation, some real difficult things. And so know that we're praying for you, but at the same time, I pray that you will also realize that the hopelessness that you feel in some circumstances is not greater than the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And really, that's what Christmas is all about. It's about the hope that we have, that hope wasn't all of a sudden, you know, it wasn't just something that we kind of thought may or may not come, and we were kind of hoping against hope that we would have hope, but we actually started to realize hope is here, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so on the podcast today, I wanted to talk about a specific passage in Scripture, because here's the thing, like with each passing year, my perspective on Christmas kind of expands. I don't know if you guys feel like this. Like as children, we have a very narrow Americanized view of Christmas. Time with family, which is great. Love received and extended, which is amazing. And then a plethora of gifts under the tree, which is like the best part. I'm kidding. But it's even kind of creepy. Like if you really think about the concept of Santa Claus and stuff, like that's a real terrifying thing, like to tell your kids. It's like, hey kids, gather around. So here's the deal. This is what happens on Christmas. There is a very hefty man who works with children at the North Pole. So he secludes himself, he and his wife, with this whole army of little children elves, pretty much, and they're pretty much enslaved into making these gifts all year, but they're happy about it. And then this very hefty individual has these reindeer that can move extremely quick across every single home in the entire world overnight. And the beautiful thing about it is this massive stranger will sneak into your house when nobody's looking, and he will just start messing with stuff. He'll eat cookies and leave them there. He'll leave a little bit so you know that he was there. He'll drink your milk. He'll just start getting all up in your business. And so we're real excited about it. I hope you kids are excited too this year. Like it's just a really creepy thing. Like that's a horror movie. If you just change the circumstances a little bit, someone eats something in the fridge, leaves something out that you know you left out, and you were like, wait a minute, it wasn't like that. What is going on, right? Like, it's just very, very weird concept. All good things, though. Don't worry. I'm not like a Santa hater, okay? I was a big Santa kid growing up. Love Santa Claus. Love what he does for the ministry, you know? But this week, kind of leading into Christmas and now, I'm kind of struck in particular by a scene in Luke's gospel talking about the birth of Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, specifically, beyond the initial night of Jesus' birth, we kind of read about infant Jesus being brought to the temple because it was required by Jewish law to bring newborns to the temple. And he was born under the law, right? We know this. But little did those around him know that in him the law was going to be fulfilled. But in particular, as Mary and Joseph and the whole squad make their way to the temple to pretty much dedicate baby Jesus, there is a man that has been waiting his entire life for this moment to see the salvation of the Lord. And so he's been waiting for this day. My man Simeon is posted up at the temple. And I wanted to read this passage. It's just 10 verses, but it says this, Luke 2, verses 25 through 35. Just bear with me here as I read these. It says this, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said this, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" This is so powerful to me, just because it's the story of all of us in some ways. And some of y'all are going like, wait, what do you mean? That doesn't make any sense. We're getting there, though. I think we can all kind of see ourselves in Simeon's story from this standpoint. Peace enters the heart through the eyes of those that have seen salvation in Christ. Is that not true of you and me? Like, there is a supernatural peace that comes with knowing Jesus Christ. All Simeon wanted was to see the Lord's Christ. And he not only saw him, but he held him and gave blessing and thanksgiving to God. And that's really the only response that we have when we've held grace and love, to bless and to thank God. I think that's why praise inhabits his people, right? That's in the Psalms. It says that his praises inhabit his people. And it's because it's like, what else can you do when you realize that you have been saved from such difficulties and eternal condemnation, right? And it's not so much about like, man, I was gonna burn in hell forever, and now I get to just swim in the sweet pools of Jesus. Like, that's not what I'm trying to say. It's just more to be delivered, to be set free, to have peace in the circumstances that we endure throughout our time on this earth. There's nothing but pure joy to realize that I have grace and love and peace beyond understanding that lives within me. Simeon says to Mary, though, "A sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And as Simeon hands Jesus back to his mother, he gives her this indication of the sorrow that she's going to endure as she watches her own son's crucifixion, so that others may grab hold of the same hope that Simeon just held. I can't even imagine like what's going through Mary's head as she hears that. I'm like, does she even like comprehend, like even within one millionth of what that means or could mean or anything like that? Or is she just kind of like, okay, I mean, this guy's a little creepy, a little weird, but you know, give me my kid back. All right, we got stuff we got to do. And this is just the way my brain works, people. As I'm reading and studying, these are the things that enter into my mind. And like, is Joseph thinking like, I'm about to punch this dude in the face? He's over here like saying that my wife is going to feel all this pain. Also, why is he not talking to me? Where am I going to be? Am I going to be around? Like, what's up? It's just interesting to me, though. Simeon's response is such a beautiful indication of our own response. And it also is like such a good reminder of what Christmas is all about to me. You look at the life of Simeon and Jesus and Mary and Joseph, and you see all these people that are there, and you see so many different perspectives on what is taking place. And Simeon's is the one that I feel like is the most easy to connect with, because he's seeing this family, you know, this teenage couple that's come in and they have this baby, and he has literally been waiting his whole life to see the Lord's Christ, and he does, and he says, I can go in peace. I have seen the salvation of the Lord. And for me, I just go, that's kind of my life. You know, I definitely have my moments where I don't handle everything super well. Any of you guys that have read Your Mess Matters, you guys know what I mean. However, pretty much when I come back to my senses, after I've had a moment or whatever, when I really get back to realizing what my life is, who it's for, who is with me, who lives inside of me in the Holy Spirit, I go, you know what? It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what's going on. I can have peace and hope in the middle of all circumstances because I know I have seen with my heart, the eyes of my heart have seen the salvation of the Lord, and nothing that is going on around me is going to be able to sway me from understanding that I am His, and nothing on this earth can snatch me up out of His hand. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing can take me from Him. And that's a beautiful thing to be able to feel and realize, gosh, I mean, Jesus stepped into this world so that I could step out of it in peace. And I love it. And really, ultimately, this is the Christmas story, right? That the King left the glory of heaven on a mission to rescue. We needed a rescuer. It doesn't really matter if you're in a position right now where you feel like you need one. You need one. We all do. We can't save ourselves. And Jesus, He traded His throne for a manger, a crown of glory for a crown of thorns. Our greatest gift, we know this, is not found under a tree. He was nailed to a tree. And my prayer for anyone who listens to this during the Christmas season is that you would kind of have your Simeon moment, if you will, that you would see Jesus clearly with the eyes of your heart, and that peace would enter your heart so that you could hold on to grace and love, rejoicing and thanking God for sending His Son, Jesus Christ, our King. Because I know for many of us, like, right, this is kind of the difficulty as we get to this part of the year. And it's not just Christmas. It could be Easter. It could be anything. You kind of have these moments, right, where you go, you know, I've gone through this holiday so many times that it's kind of lost its luster a little bit. And I think we gotta be able to own up to that, or we're never going to be able to get back to a place that we understand and feel as deeply as the very first time that we really understood it and participated in it. Like, you have to really think that this day, and I don't know how y'all do this, but I have to almost transport my mind back in time and think about being in this place in Israel. You see this star, you just feel the earth shifting, that something different is here. The rescuer is here, that Jesus Christ entered the world. That is what we're celebrating. And that was pretty much the beginning of the end of history as we knew it. Everything pointed to Jesus, and everything now is counting down to Him coming back again. That's such a powerful reality to grapple with.
Let's take a quick break to hear from one of our wonderful sponsors.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Denison Ministries. Denison Ministries is a movement creating 7 million culture-changing Christians who are committed to carrying out the truths of the gospel to their sphere of influence through a variety of ways, which is why Denison Ministries is excited about what God is doing through today's podcast. One of the cool ways Denison Ministries helps Christians unpack the culture around them is through their Denison Forum. The Denison Forum is designed to help Christians thoughtfully engage the issues of the day from a biblical perspective. Each day, Jim Denison writes on the cultural and contemporary issues of the day through his daily article. You can sign up to get the Denison Forum daily article sent directly to your inbox at denisonforum.org, or start your day off with the Daily Article podcast. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Now back to today's program.
Hundreds of millions of people that don't believe, that don't believe in Jesus at all. They think He's either, there's an intellectual stumbling block there and He doesn't make sense, or just some, for whatever reason, didn't grow up in a home like that, just have never really never really been able to get on board with the idea of believing that Jesus Christ could be and is their Lord and Savior should they accept him and pray. But the reality is, you look at life, you look at the history of the world, you can't even tell time without the guy. Like, we're literally living in, what is it, 2019 going on 2020 AD. It is one of those deals where you can't get around it. You have to grapple with this day. You have to grapple with what it means and come to a conclusion. And y'all know mine. I know most of yours. And hey, the thing is, I completely and totally invite people who don't believe to listen into this podcast, because maybe that's a podcast we need to do for a later time, is talk about some real issues and questions we have concerning the faith, and not even do a defense. That's kind of a defense of the faith, but really more just dealing with difficult questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? Stuff like that. Why is there so much evil in this world? All those kinds of questions. But before we even get to those, you have to grapple with the idea that, why is it that this man is so pivotal in the history of the world? Nobody has made an impact on the world like Jesus Christ has. And you know what's interesting? You think about every single person that's been a big deal in the world. What do they have? They have prestige. They were born into wealth. They were born into some kind of kingship. They were born into something that was attached to wealth and status, right? If they weren't that, then they accrued a large military presence. You have someone that became a great commander of some sort. Most notably, I think about someone like Alexander the Great, whose fame is literally for pretty much conquering the entire known world at that time. It could be anyone else. It could be a political figure. It could be someone like a Caesar who was around in Jesus' time, somebody who just was a political icon. You think of pretty much any of those things. You either have wealth, power, prestige, military forces, something like that. And then you look at the life of Jesus and you go, man, this guy was born as a Jew in Israel. He was homeless. He wasn't born into wealth or power or prestige. He didn't have an army or anything like that. He didn't do anything like that. I mean, how is it that this guy, this Jesus, is who he is being hailed as even still today? Why do people believe in this guy so much? You have to grapple with this day and go, why has he had an impact on history the way nobody else has? And that's the other thing too, is the gravity of his impact on the world. This is one of the things, if you're going, man, Luke, why are you going off on a tangent a little bit about this? Because this is one of the things that really made me start to get really serious in my faith, as I went, who's had any impact like Jesus Christ? Nobody. Gandhi, not even close. Big impact for sure, not even close. You think of Muhammad, big impact, not even close. He's got a religion named after it. There's nothing as impactful as the person of Jesus Christ. There's nobody. There's not a movement. There's not a person. There's not a country, a political power, nothing that has even come close to who he is. And so grapple with that. Wrestle with that. This day is pretty much the beginning of the end of our... Gosh, there's so many things. I could get into so many things. Sin, for instance. So many things. But I just want you guys to realize, and I know that many of you do, that this day that we celebrate of the King coming into the world, he has had such a massive impact, because it's like C.S. Lewis said, he's either liar, lunatic, or he's Lord, and there's no in between. He is either on one side of the loony bin, or he is completely and totally in the right, and he is Lord, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And so you guys, we got to grapple with that. We got to wrestle with that. But one thing is for sure, you can't ignore it. And today is a day that I celebrate. I know that many of you are celebrating as well. And guys, I love you. I'm thankful for you. I can't wait to see what 2020 brings. We are jumping straight into the new year. with our eyes wide open. Hello, churches. I'm sure you're not going to see any churches do a sermon series called 2020 Vision for the Future or anything like that. You know, that'd be weird. Can't imagine that's going to be seen at all. And so anyway, love you guys. You guys are the best. I'm praying for 2020 to be a year that we will never forget, that God would use it for his glory like we know he will. And I'm excited. And so, hey, until next year, LOL. I'll talk to you guys next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to The Invitation with Luke Lauzon. For more information about this show, visit ConvergePodcastNetwork.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.